It's Wednesday, October 3rd, AD 2018. This is The Worldview in 5 minutes, written by yours truly and heard at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. The FBI is investigating allegations that Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh sexually assaulted Christine Blasey Ford when the two were high school students more than 3 decades ago. Under a deal reached by GOP senators, the FBI has until Friday to wrap up the investigation. Democratic Minority Leader Chuck Schumer of New York could not contain his hostility toward Kavanaugh.
Our job as senators is to decide if someone has the intelligence, the temperament, the independence, and the credibility to earn the title of justice for a lifetime. Character matters. Character matters deeply. Anyone who watched the Judiciary Committee hearing on Thursday should have serious, if not disqualifying, doubts about Judge Kavanaugh's credibility and independence, qualities we should expect in any Supreme Court justice.
Republican Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina reiterated his disgust with the Democratic smear campaign.
If they do this to him, call him every bad vowel name in the world and get upset because he pushes back, then God help the next nominee. He's not the problem, my friend. The people who did this to him are the problem. I don't worry about his temperament. I worry about what they did.
And Republican Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky predicted a timely Senate floor vote on Kavanaugh this week.
So soon, I expect we'll hear that the conclusions of the expert prosecutor who questioned both witnesses at last week's hearing aren't reliable, or that the FBI's investigation was not infinite or endless enough for their liking. And so let me make it very clear. The time for endless delay and obstruction has come to a close. Judge Kavanaugh's nomination is out of committee. We're considering it here on the floor. And Mr. President, we'll be voting this week.
You can urge your two senators to confirm President Donald Trump's nomination of Judge Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court through a link in our transcript today at theworldview.com or call 202-224-3121. Pastor John Piper says that to raise children who can resist the porn-saturated digital culture, the gospel must be a constant theme of conversation between parents and children, reports the Christian Post. In response to a question from a concerned mother Friday about how she and her husband can raise her sons to not fall into immoral lust and sin that so many godly men have, the Reformed theologian said, quote, "Saturate your family with Scripture. Talk about it morning, noon, and night. Talk of it when you get up, when you go to meals, when you're riding in the car. Talk of the Word of God and seek to help your children understand it. Treat the Bible as the absolute authority in your life. Pray that the children will grow up believing that this book is the highest authority in the universe under God." End quote. To further bolster their faith to stand against all kinds of sin, Piper recommended making the gospel a quote-unquote constant refrain in the home. He said, quote, "Keep in front of your children that Christ died for sinners and that he provides a way of preserving and restoring fellowship with himself when we have failed. All children fail. They all do bad things. Their conscience bothers them. They need to be reminded again and again about the gospel way of handling failure and sin, not the world's way. Otherwise, they're going to become secretive and hide their sins because they don't know how to settle them with God, let alone with their parents." End quote. Deuteronomy 6:5-7 says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." After her September 18th breast cancer surgery, Ann Graham Lotz revealed that a trace of cancer was found in the lymph nodes, requiring her to undergo 18 weeks of chemotherapy beginning October 18th, as well as additional treatments over the next year, reports the Christian Post. The daughter of the late Billy Graham said, quote, "I'm confident that the gardener knows exactly what he's doing. Cancer can be the preliminary to bearing much eternal fruit. Cancer can be a display case for God's glory." End quote. Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." John 11:4. as exit polls show that 81% of self-described white evangelicals supported Trump in the 2016 presidential election, leaders with the Faith and Freedom Coalition, the Family Policy Alliance, and the Family Research Council are hoping to encourage conservative Christians who might not be likely to vote this November to show up at the polls and support candidates who can help advance the Trump administration's social conservative agenda, reports the Christian Post. Faith and Freedom Coalition, an organization headed by longtime social conservative lobbyist Ralph Reed, plans to spend about $18 million by November 6th to micro-target around 125 million social conservative voters across 19 different states through door-to-door interactions, digital ads, phone calls, and mailers. Canada is now considering making it legal to allow children to choose doctor-assisted suicide. Stay tuned for a Worldview special report featuring a pro-life Christian on the front lines of this battle in Canada, immediately following today's newscast. And finally, when several masked men held up a Filipino family at gunpoint and stole everything they could get their hands on, the 8-year-old daughter Brielle Alba, who was playing in the driveway, tackled one of the robbers as she attempted to wrangle back a stolen bag, reports FaithWire. But Brielle wasn't done yet. As the gang ran down to the road and mounted their motorbikes, the youngster threw herself at them once again, frantically trying to retrieve her family's stolen possessions. The criminals slammed into her with their motorbikes and brutally kicked her to the ground, breaking the youngster's nose. After spending 2 nights in the hospital, Brielle declared, quote, "I'll get them next time. I'm so angry they stole my daddy's money. If I ever see them again, they'll be sorry," end quote. And that's the Worldview in 5 minutes. On this Wednesday, October 3rd, in the year of our Lord, 2018, subscribe by iTunes or email to our unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. Time now for a Worldview special report by Emily Swanson. I'm Adam McManus. The option to kill yourself is one that the government of Canada is considering opening up to children. The Worldview talked with Matthew Wojciechowski of Campaign Life Coalition Canada about why euthanasia is being so heavily pushed in today's culture. He said that many who don't have hope will look at euthanasia as their only option.
Everyone is different, right? Everyone's suffering, or everyone experiences suffering in a different way. And some accept it as, you know, from a Christian perspective, you know, they accept it as the cross and they're willing to suffer. And others, maybe if they don't have any type of faith formation, they may not see purpose in one's suffering.
Wojciechowski said that the majority of the population is indifferent to the issue.
First of all, the majority of the population is fairly indifferent, whether it's abortion, euthanasia, assisted suicide. People just kind of say, you know, it doesn't really affect me, it's a sensitive issue, I'm not going to talk about it, and they don't talk about it. And so these issues become desensitized in a way where, obviously, once a law is created, a law is a teacher as well. So once something is permitted by law, then it becomes more acceptable in society and the culture.
He stated emphatically that the so-called compassion which euthanasia advocates promote is not real compassion.
The people who are actively fighting for expanding euthanasia and assisted suicide under the whole human rights notion, you know, that this is a human rights-based approach, that it's compassionate care. I think there's a false compassion or a false understanding of what it truly means to be compassionate.
Wojciechowski shared that his father recently passed away from cancer, and though he was suffering, the suffering he went through deepened his Christian faith and hope.
I just had a father who passed away from cancer, so he suffered greatly. For a whole year, immense suffering. Of course, my father was a very devout man, so he turned that suffering into a life of prayer. And in the end, it really helped him with the suffering. I mean, maybe not the physical suffering, but at least his emotional state was fairly healthy at the time.
Wojciechowski said it's hard for people to know how to help those who are suffering. But he also emphasized that there are so many ways to help those who are suffering.
They don't know how to help someone who's suffering. We can't even begin to understand some of the suffering these people experience, whether it's physical or whether it's emotional or psychological. And it's extremely hard to put yourself in their place. But I think what our responsibility is as citizens is to do what's best for the other, to care about the other in a way, to show them true love, authentic love and genuine love and compassion, to spend time with them, to be with them, to show them that they are loved, and that by them killing themselves or by having a doctor inject a fatal, you know, injection into them is actually going to be bad for their community and for their family and for their friends.
Colossians 3:12 addresses this. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. He said that one of the things they do at Campaign Life Coalition in Canada is to encourage people to visit the suffering and the shut-ins.
That one of the key things that we do from Campaign Life, even just the pro-life movement as a whole, is we encourage people to visit their elderly, go to a retirement home or visit the sick, show them that they're loved, show them that they feel the love, that they're wanted, and that their life has value, which it does. Regardless of what disease or suffering or ailment they have, they are loved. And it's very hard to explain like something like that to someone who is going through some extreme pain, right? And you could see that the end is near for them, and they don't want to suffer too much, so they opt out for this. And it's a lot easier when doctors are also suggesting it.
He said one of the hardest things is that doctors are helping to promote killing yourself to end suffering.
Doctors are supposed to care about people, and here they are suggesting it. Like, you know what's going to be easier? And then once you start looking at the financial arguments, you being here in this hospital, taxpayer dollars are going away, they're being wasted on you to keep you alive, and then families get involved, and they want their wills or they want their possessions up, and it just becomes very, very nasty. Why is it that Canada is open to this? I think Canadians as a whole are people who care deeply about one another, and they're compassionate, but a part of the population, they've been tempted into this false compassion where we think what's best for you is whatever you want to do or whatever state you're in, it's your choice.
He went on to say that we need to remind people that their value comes inherently from being made in God's image and that there are ways to help them.
And they kind of overlook the fact that sometimes we need to be able to remind people that they are made in the image and likeness of God, that they are valuable, that they are loved. Once that conversation shifts to that, those people wouldn't even want to end their life then, because the infrastructure is there. We have palliative care that's really good. We have science and we have medical experimentation that's going on constantly, curing, finding new ways to help ease the pain, the surgery. All this stuff is constantly happening and moving forward to a time where people don't die from things that they used to die from 100 years ago.
He said even in really extreme cases where it's hard to find pain relief, we should not draw back from reaching in and loving those who are suffering.
And of course, there are extreme cases where it's really hard to find something like that. And you know, in those cases, it's just my heart breaks for those people, because it's like, we understand that you're suffering so much, but let us love you. In a way, it's like a political discussion, but I think a big part of it is also the moral discussion. It's how do we treat our neighbor, right? And how do we truly love our brothers and sisters in Christ, even through their suffering? Or do we kind of just abandon them and let them, that pain and that suffering that gets to their head, it kind of changes their approach, their mind, and if they don't have a support network around them that's fighting for their life, and instead they have someone who's saying, you know what, if you want to end your life, we could do that, we can make it happen, that just becomes a huge problem. And as a result, ever since euthanasia and assisted suicide were legalized in Canada a few years ago, I think there's more than 1,000 cases now across the country of people taking their life.
He encouraged those in America to fight it legislatively, and most importantly, at the local relational level, with those who are suffering around us. Wojciechowski concluded by encouraging Christians to consider that every suffering person is a reminder of all of us who are broken and desperately in need of our Savior Jesus Christ.
Because at the end of the day, I think every one of us is broken, and we need to find that healing. And from a Christian perspective, obviously Christ is the healer of all, right? But I think God also uses people to help with that healing journey for others.
This legislation is indeed scary legislation, but pray for God to move the hearts of those in Canada to protect life and to love those who are suffering instead of encouraging them to end their lives, whether old or young. Jesus said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly." John 10:10. This has been a Worldview Special Report. I'm Adam McManus.